by keeping it holy. That's how Luther summarizes it anyway in the small catechism. And as we think of this commandment, it really comes to us, and we begin by thinking about it as we look back on the history of the people of God. Remember, the Israelites at one time were slaves in Egypt. And so day in and day out, they were making bricks 7 days a week, 365 days a year, for roughly 400 and some odd years. All they knew in life was slavery. All they knew in life was making bricks and doing the construction projects of the Egyptian pharaoh. They had no rest. They were not even allowed to go out into the wilderness and worship. That is, until God sent Moses to go and rescue these people and bring them into the promised land. And as they get on the cusp of entering into the promised land, that's where God sees them at Mount Sinai and gives them these commandments. And this commandment is one of those where he tells the people, listen, you get a day off. Every seventh day, you're going to have a break. You're going to rest from your labor. Even your animals are going to rest from their labor. Your servants, all of you, are going to rest from your labor and be the people of God. That's where we begin with this idea of what it means to remember the Sabbath day. However, as Christians today, we tend to overemphasize certain parts of this commandment. And the part that we overemphasize is a part that Luther doesn't actually even speak about when he's teaching on this in the Small Catechism. So fortunately, good old Martin Luther faithfully interprets this commandment by using other scriptures in the New Testament, and he gives us a simple, straightforward, and plain teaching on what it means to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. And so he asks this question, as he does of all his commandments, what does this mean? And he gives us this definition. Remembering the Sabbath day, keeping it holy, means we should fear and love God, so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn from it. When you think of this commandment and how we practice it nowadays, what do you notice is missing from Luther's explanation? I'll give you two things: the word work and the word rest. He doesn't mention work or rest in this commandment at all. It doesn't enter into his conversation until later on. He doesn't begin with that. Instead, he goes to those things that we do tonight, we do on Sunday mornings, we do on special occasions, which is to hear the preaching of the word, to gladly receive it, to learn from it, to meet with fellow Christians, to receive what God has for us. Far too often, we focus on this commandment as work and rest. We got caught up in blue laws and keeping stores closed so people wouldn't go to work, so they could have rest and have family time, right? That's what Wednesdays are for now, right? They're for family time. Or Sunday mornings, they're for family time. They're for rest. They're for going out to the lake. They're for doing some fishing. They're for going out on hunting and all these things. They're for taking a good long nap or going to a coffee shop or having a really good sleep in on a Sunday morning, which I haven't had a sleep in on any day for 9 years. And I would just really love that, but I just haven't had that. It's for going to Target without kids. It's for doing these things that we just do actually need as human beings. We do need rest, and all these things are good, but we tend to associate them with obedience to this commandment. And we'll do this in a way where we even will spiritualize certain things to make it sound like we're really obeying the Sabbath command. A few of you, I won't name names, have sent me pictures on a Sunday morning of a beautiful lake. You know, the sun is coming up and the lake is beautiful, clear. And oftentimes you'll put a caption in there that says, "I'm in God's church on Sunday morning." You're wrong. You dirty sinners, you're wrong. That is not church. You know who worships like that? Honestly, do you know who worships like that? Witches. Nature worshipers. People who belong to the cult that is called Wiccan. They worship in the outdoors. That's their sanctuary. Now, this is not to say that that's not God's beautiful creation. And boy, I love enjoying God's beautiful creation. And it does feed us, right? It shows us just the majesty of what God has done to create this world and a place for his creation, us, to enjoy and to even rule over, have dominion over the birds, fish, all these things. God has made these things, and he wants us to enjoy it, but it is not his church. When you're out on the lake and you say, "Well, God really spoke to me out on that lake today," how do you know it's God's voice, not your own? What did you receive from the Lord that you know definitively is from the Lord? Think of it the opposite way. When you're in church on Wednesday night, when you're singing these beautiful songs that, "Oh, Praise the Name" is now on my list of songs that I want in my funeral, you know, when you're singing these things that tell the story of what Christ has done for us, and they're sung in such, well, by the ladies, not myself, such beautiful ways, and they have such great hymnody to them. When we are here and we hear the preaching of God's Word and we have the Word read to us, even by a young fourth grader, these are things you don't receive on the lake or on the river. These are the things where you know definitively God is speaking to me, because these are definitively God's words. That is why we remember the Sabbath, and that is how we keep it holy. We keep it holy by receiving from God. We keep it holy by resting and going to that place, carving out space and time to go to where God wants to definitively do his work to you, for you. We are commanded to remember the Sabbath by taking in God's word, and we are commanded to come here and to receive the thing here that you can't receive elsewhere, which is that sweet word that says, "You are forgiven." That sweet word that says, "Jesus died on the cross for you." To hear the word, as I was talking to the young fifth graders as they're learning about First Communion, what do you hear from a pastor on a Sunday morning? You hear him speak with God's authority, saying, "By his authority, I declare unto you the forgiveness of sins." You hear that here, not at the lake. Unless you invite me on the boat with you, and then I can speak it there too. This is how we remember the Sabbath. This is how we keep it holy. We do get rest, but it's a rest for our souls. And in this time that we rest, we allow God to do his work for us. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Let us pray. gracious and heavenly Father, help us to honor this commandment. Help us not to despise your word, the preaching of it, the celebration of the Lord's Supper, but to gladly receive what you would have for us. We thank you that you have put this fence around this special time for us to receive from you. Thank you for your gifts. We pray this in your name. Amen.